Dear congregation, children, if I were to ask you what you would do in order to try to live a long life as best as you can, what kind of answers would you give me? Well, you could say perhaps that you're going to try to stay healthy, stay fit, stay physically well. And this would be by obviously watching your diet, what you eat, and trying to be active, trying to have smart routines for your body. And others would perhaps say, well, I'm going to listen to all the advice of my doctor, my medical care provider. They know what I perhaps may need, and I'll take the different prescriptions they require, and I'm going to rely on their advice, and with their care, I'll live a long life. Or you could say that you're going to hope that perhaps you have good genes, that you've had relatives in the past that have lived a long life, and your parents and grandparents perhaps and great-grandparents all lived to well into their 80s, and that's your hope, is in having the genes and to live a good long life. Well, there's a place for these different practices and such, but probably few of us would consider, I'm going to obey my mom and dad as an answer to that question, to have a long life. I'm going to respect authority, honor those whom God has placed in my life as authority figures and supplied me with structure for how to relate and how to find my way and be directed through this life. And yet in the fifth commandment, we see that honoring father and mother is followed by the rationale that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And just a few weeks ago, in preaching the fifth commandment from the Heidelberg Catechism, the Lord's Day deals wonderfully with the structure of authority and bearing with the weakness of those whom God has placed in our lives and praying for them. But it doesn't really dwell on the that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Actually, in the Westminster Larger Catechism, question 66 asks, what is the reason for the fifth commandment? And the answer is given. The reason for the fifth commandment is the promise of long life and prosperity if these glorify God and are for the good of those who obey this commandment. But now I can well imagine that you have a question. Does that mean that everybody who obeys, who honors father and mother, or who dwells rightly under authority, will guaranteed live a longer life than those who don't? Or are those who die young those who must not have been honoring father and mother? Well, we would never say such things. The promise of a long life in the promised land must be seen between two alternatives. First of all, it can't be what I would say absolutized, where it's a rule for every single individual necessarily. A similar example could be the Proverb 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The principle abides and is true. But that's not to say every single child necessarily will be led in the right path when they are trained up well. There are some, to our great sorrow, that have been trained up very well and prayed over and taught in the ways of the Lord who have wandered. And we see the Lord's sovereignty. So there are those who have honored father and mother, and it was in the Lord's sovereign will to take them at an early age to himself. That's not to say the promise is any less true, but it's to say the Lord is sovereign in his dealings in your life and mine. So we can't absolutize this promise, but at the same time, we can't downplay it as if it has no meaning. We have to appreciate what is being said. The rule is still valid. Anyone who honors his parents will receive benefits from doing so, both now in the present as well as into the future. It's only to our benefit to honor father and mother. And that's what I'd like to set before you this evening, that those who honor parents or authority figures in their lives receive tremendous benefit from doing so. Not only in a life after this life, but also already here and now. And this was true for Israel as they could look forward to being in the promised land, marching through the wilderness and finally occupying Canaan. But it's also true in our New Testament age today. We read in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, that godliness is profitable for all things because it holds promise for life, both for today and for the future. So if you think of living a long life, let us appreciate the place where obedience, where honoring father and mother or those in authority over us has in God's plan for us to accomplish that, to accomplish his will. So our text words are Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Our theme is the promise of a long life in the land. The promise of a long life in the land. 3 points, belonging and blessing. Faith and faithfulness, fear of the Lord, and obedience. So the promise of a long life in the land, belonging and blessing, faith and faithfulness, fear of the Lord, and obedience. So firstly, we have belonging and blessing. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And in Ephesians 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And the call is, and the gracious provision of God in the fifth commandment and in the way of loving obedience is the sense of belonging that he gives to those that are under authority. Now you will notice that this sense of belonging isn't primarily merely to the family structure. There is that. But notice how Paul adds three words, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And so that's at the very center of belonging. That's at the very heart of the call upon children to obey their parents in the Lord. And what is meant by in the Lord, but it's belonging to Christ, being in union and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the greatest and closest belonging. And that is life. Life in Christ. Life as it flows from the life giver who could say of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in belonging to Christ by faith, the believer has the life that endures, the life that is true life, the life that is blessed. So we need to appreciate this commandment as a call to obey in the Lord, to belong to Christ, to be in the Lord. And this is in contrast to what we are by nature. By nature, there is no belonging, there is separation, there is distance. And that is what sin has caused in the human race and in us. And what does sin bring forth, children? Death. Separation from God. And judgment. So, honoring father and mother is to be done most of all in the Lord. It is the sphere, it is the way in which we relate together most intimately, not physically, but in the spiritual bond of being in the Lord. And this leads to blessing. Just like in the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. What a wonderful spiritual blessing flows from belonging. The spiritual blessing of flowing from belonging in the Lord is the life that the Lord gives. He gives life to the full. I have come, the good shepherd could say, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And yes, this life was portrayed in the Old Testament by dwelling long in the land, which the Lord, their God, would give. But in the new, and as that prefigures, the promised land prefigures eternal life. Life with God forever. Life in Christ forever. It is the blessing of eternal life and the blessing of spiritual life. How wonderful it is that God uses the instruction that parents can give to children. God uses the authority structure that He has placed children under for tremendous spiritual gain, for benefit that lasts for lifelong. What a blessing God gives to those who belong in Christ. So this evening we need to consider, where do we find our greatest sense of belonging? Do we delight to be outside of the house with our friends, doing our fun things, catering to our own desires? Is that where we're finding fulfilled, where we're finding what we want to be and do? Or do we find ourselves thriving where God has planted us in our families, with our parents by us? That's not to say we can't have fun. That's not to say we can't appreciate times with our friends. But where do you belong? Where is God's blessing flowing forth to you? And children, this might be hard to want to answer correctly, because your conscience knows. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's not go out and have fun with your friends night after night so that you may live it up temporarily. They may enjoy your few days here below, but receive that which has the longest effect, the most lasting blessing. Where do you belong? And what's the blessing that you seek? Is it the blessing of how other people view you, of being popular? It's not cool to be honoring of authority, to be under father and mother. It's cooler to speak ill of them behind their back, or to mock with them outside of their presence. Or is it the blessing of the Lord that you seek? To really say, Lord, work in my heart and my life through those you have given me, especially through my parents. The promise of a long life in the land, it brings, flows from belonging and flows into blessing. But secondly, it comes out of faith and faithfulness. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. How do we receive those in authority? How are we to rightly honor them? Well, it's by receiving them in faith as given to us by God. This is very important. We don't view them because of how perfect they would be, because of how we find obeying them so easily, but we say, God has given me this mother and father. God has given me these people in authority, and I trust him. I believe him. And therefore, I will honor and obey because of my trust in God, that he has put me where he has put me. He has placed me in the family he has placed me in. To have faith is absolutely necessary for this promise of a long life in the land. That's the heart reception of God's good gift. That's what faith is. Receiving what God has provided as being of utmost need for me. And this faith especially focuses on Christ the Savior himself. Isn't that the way he lived? Didn't he honor his Father supremely? He could say, my delight is to do the will of my Father. He could say, I and my Father are one. He could say, my Father works hitherto and I work. And so he identified with his father. He obeyed his father faithfully. He trusted his father entirely. Christ lived out the life of honor to his father and to his mother. There on the cross, as he hung there in naked shame, what did he think of himself? He thought of his mother. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He made provision for Mary through the Apostle John. What a son, the perfect son, the sinless son, the son who could have the longest days upon the land which the Lord his God would give him, being perfect and without blame, and yet cut off from the land of the living. But he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay in the grave. He was raised. He lives. And it's in Christ by faith that the land is opened up. He gives of himself. And he gives himself freely to unworthy people. So Christ is the obedient one. He is the one who merited, who earned by his obedience, and he paid for the sins of his people through his death, that the land would not be closed off, but that it would be wide open. And he is faithful. He is faithful. Christ, and this is a glorious thing, he doesn't cast us off when we dishonor, when we sin against our parents and those that are in authority over us. He is faithful to carry out his purpose, to accomplish his will for his people. That's a beautiful thing, because if he wasn't, no one would enter the promised land. We would all come up short. We would all fail because we remain so imperfect and struggle so much with sin. But he is faithful that it may be well with thee. Isn't that the glorious purpose of Christ, to have it be well with his people? Now, that doesn't mean health and wealth. That doesn't necessarily mean long life. But his faithfulness guarantees that none shall perish, and no one shall pluck the sheep of the good shepherd out of the good shepherd's hand. Beloved, the promise of a long life in the land calls forth from you and me the diligence of faith. This isn't just empty profession, but this is resting entirely upon Christ, what he has done as the perfect son. And it looks to his faithfulness that if we reach the goal, whether it's after 30 years or if it's after 60 or 90 years or however long we would dwell upon the earth, we may say, great is thy faithfulness. Christ has sustained, Christ has worked his will, keeping that which was his own, against the day of his return. So the promise of a long life in the land, belonging and blessing, faith and faithfulness, and lastly, the fear of the Lord and obedience. One of the places in Scripture where we see the promise of long life held out more than others is in Proverbs. Let me read just three Proverbs to you. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth or addeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 9, verse 11, for by me, that is by wisdom, days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. And Proverbs 3, verses 2 and 16, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. The length of days is in her right hand. So the book of Proverbs is about wisdom, and wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And one of the outcomes of the fear of the Lord is, according to the wise man, is the lengthening or the adding of days. The fear of the Lord leads to the lengthening of days. Now, why is that? Well, I believe it's because it brings our heart and our soul into the right relationship through the work of the Spirit to God. That He is the eternal one. He is the one who is always and always will be. And when we are brought into the right relationship in our hearts through the work of the Spirit, the only fitting outcome is that length of days would be added to those in whom the Spirit lives. The Eternal One gives of Himself through His working Spirit to add days to those who relate wisely and rightly to Him. Oh, how precious the fear of the Lord is. And this fear of the Lord isn't terror or dread, but it's a sense of the majesty and greatness of God. For by me thy day shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. And what is it also to fear God by receiving those whom He has placed in authority over us? We show our fear to God by dwelling rightly upon those who He has given us to honor and to obey. We show our despising of God by rebelling against those He has put over us. Oh, the fear of the Lord. It should be our prayer, Lord, cultivate in me a sense of who You are in Your majesty and greatness, so that I would stand in wonder before You and never be bold to affront Your glory. The fear of the Lord promises long life. And this is the way of godliness, the way of true Christian piety. Dear ones, for those like Robert Murray McShane, who were taken so young in life, or David Brainerd, they had such an early premature death that really this promise was fulfilled in them. Not that it was a long life lived on this earth, but they entered into eternity, having feared God here below. They entered into His blessed presence to fear him and adore him above. Is that your prayer? Lord, teach me the fear of your name here and now, so that when it's my time to be promoted, oh, that I would do the very same things then, fear thee and love thee. That's a life well lived. And then there's the obedience. The obedience leads to the promise of a long life in the land. Deuteronomy, some Deuteronomy passages impress upon us this need for obedience. Deuteronomy 11, 8 and 9, "Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed." Or Deuteronomy 4, verse 40, "Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever." To obey. To obey with joy and love. To obey as those who have received the great gift of the promised land. The people of Israel were promised that it may, that ye may prolong your days in the land. Obedience brings continuation, brings the enjoyment of God's presence with them in the promised land. Disobedience would bring forth the judgment of the Lord in exile. Oh, the blessing of obedience that ushers in the promise of a long life in the land. So we've seen belonging and blessing, faith and faithfulness, the fear of the Lord and obedience. And I pray you appreciate the connection there is. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let me close with 3 points of application. The first is that in the Christian teaching on honoring and respecting authority, there is true blessing. It's not old-fashioned. It's not meant to keep us from joy and happiness and just keep us under authority and keep us being told what to do. God has given it to us because he knows that's what's best for us. That's where life is enjoyed. To be outside of it is to be in the place of death and distress. Don't make it look like those who are rebelling, those who are exerting their own wills, are the most happy. They're not. Those who are where God has placed them, under the care of those he has placed them under, that is the best place. Secondly, the promise of long life in the land calls for you and it calls for me to repent of our sin. Isn't this the first sin that mankind, that we committed in Adam? That we did not want to be under God's authority. We wanted to be our own God. And what was the cost of that sin but death? What would it have been to obey, to be under the authority of God, receiving his authority forever? It would have been life. It would have been glory. We must confess before God that we chafe against his way of life, that we have turned from his way of blessing and life in the land to a way of death. Perhaps you're here or you're looking online and you're still knowing that this promise of a long life isn't to you, as your current state is outside of Christ. Well, you must repent. You must acknowledge before God, it's not just my authority structure, maybe my parents or my boss or my church, but it's you, O Lord, that I've rejected. God, be merciful to me. Forgive my sin. Show me the way of long life in Christ. And the third application about the promise of a long life in the land is that we need to maximize our time here below. Maximize our time, redeem our time here below for a greater purpose than just enjoying things here below. Oh, let us use our time now, honoring father and mother, doing the Lord's will so that it would be an investment, a preparation, a being fit for the life hereafter. Long life in the land won't be given to those who are strangers to God here below. But oh, that we would dwell with the Lord and delight in the Lord, and that he would give us the desire of our heart, give us himself and life to enjoy him forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, especially implant upon the hearts of youth and teenagers and young adults the truth of this wonderful promise that thou dost give life, that thou dost bless those who honor father and mother. We know thou art sovereign in thy dealings with us, but oh God, give us hearts that truly desire what is best for us and what thou hast commanded. We pray, O Lord, for all of us, that even as older ones, we still can honor father and mother, that in our days and age in which so many are left alone, that thou wilt grant us to be found faithful in their care and for their good, and that thou wilt bless the church from generation to generation, that the promised land, that eternal life, would be brought to thy dear people out of Christ. Please help us in this week, in the times when perhaps we don't want to obey, we want to do our own thing. Lord, may this sermon, may thy word guard us from that and make us willing to do what is right and what glorifies thee. We pray this in Jesus' holy name.